some boys and girls listening, and you're more than welcome. Glad to have you along. Just remember, if you try to tell your friends the truth, they're not going to want to hear it. So keep it to yourself unless someone asks you. Don't invite trouble. Big story here. This is going, a lot of you are going to laugh. You're going to get the black humor that is in this. 3 minutes long. We're going to play it here in just a minute. It's actually a whopper to see this come out. You know damn well when you look at a story like this that it's been approved at the highest levels. I said, okay, we're changing tack on this. Like that's a sailboat term. And yeah, it's funny. Comes out of Australia, but it's already rolling all over the place. All right, let's bring on the much better looking half of this team. Much more intelligent, too, come to think of it. My partner, Erica.
Well, thank you. I guess people are going to have to take your word for it on that, aren't they?
No, you use three-syllable words. I've heard it. I will attest to it. Do you know how tragically dumb most of these young people are today? And I'm not knocking them. It's not their fault. But there's a law pending in California and... I forget the other
Oregon,
state.
Wasn't it? Oregon?
No, that was the pitch a tent on your front lawn.
Oh, okay.
That was Oregon, California, and it's Oregon. O-R-Y-G-U-N. Oregon.
Oregon.
No, it's not gone. It's gun. Anyway, California, Oregon, and Ohio have laws pending which will allow the invaders or homeless to pitch a tent on your private property, right in your front yard. They make no mention of bodily functions, where they're going to park their cars, and so forth. So that's kind of the end, in some ways, of the right to ownership of property, even though it's never really yours, it's the banks or the counties. So there you go. But that's happening. Now, this other thing, it's come out of Australia, and I laugh. I'm still laughing. So I will play it and let you hear the surety, the certainty, the absolute total pushing of this as the answer. And it's something that we've been saying for close to 2.5 years now. And everybody knows it if they've done any real research into this. There have been recent efforts to discredit this particular pharmaceutical, which is really missing the point because it's had, I don't know how many tests, trials?
Don't name the product. 95 randomized clinical trials showing efficacy and benefit.
And it's considered to be perhaps the, according to some, the safest pharmaceutical drug ever. And it only costs 14 cents for a course. And it is showing now to be 100% effective virtually 100% effective in curing the COVID virus in less than 48 hours. So here, maybe I've spoiled it here, but take a listen. This is really funny. I find it to be beyond ironic. They've made the decision. It's time to green light it. So here it is.
Doctors could soon have a new tool in their arsenal for the fight against coronavirus. One America's Pearson Sharp has more than the medicine that researchers in Australia say could cure the virus in just 48 hours.
The fight against coronavirus could have a powerful new weapon. It's called ivermectin. News out of Australia has revealed doctors are now successfully using the drug to treat patients infected with the coronavirus, with one doctor saying it makes corona very simple to kill. So far, the medicine hasn't been widely used against the coronavirus specifically, but is typically used for parasitic infections. However, a peer-reviewed study led by Monash University back in April found that even a single dose of the drug could kill the coronavirus in less than 48 hours.
We're supposed to believe this is new news. Remember that. Look how they're presenting this. It's hilarious.
Ivermectin is well-established and has been available since the 1970s. It's FDA-approved and is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. That means it has very few side effects and is considered one of the safest drugs in the world. In fact, in 2011, a scientific journal in Japan, where the medicine is originally from, called ivermectin a wonder drug, on the same level as penicillin and aspirin. And it's not only potent, it's also very inexpensive. The wholesale cost for a course of treatment is just 12 cents, meaning it's a safe and widely available treatment for the coronavirus. Australian doctor and professor Thomas Borody is spearheading efforts to raise awareness for the drug's effectiveness.
It's an antiparasitic. It sits across South America, quite a bit in the USA, also India and Bangladesh. And in those places where trials between 80 and 160 patients were done, the amazing and surprising thing is there's not one paper where it was successful less than 100%. That is the actual factual result. It is curative within 6 to 8 days.
He says when used in combination with two other drugs, an antiviral called doxycycline and zinc, that ivermectin is amazingly effective in treating the coronavirus. The medicine works by allowing healthy cells to quickly remove the virus, preventing it from taking hold. Dr. Borody adds that countless doctors and frontline workers around the world, including himself, are already taking this treatment as a preventative against the coronavirus.
If we use a preventative combination of ivermectin every, say, 2 weeks, it would work like a vaccine, but it would not only cure, vaccine doesn't cure, and prevent recurrence as long as you took it, for 1 year, 2 years.
Even doctors in the U.S. are having success with the drug. Doctors in Broward County, Florida, say they're already curing coronavirus patients with ivermectin and seeing a near 100% success rate.
If we get to those people early, and what I mean by that, if their oxygen requirements are less than 50%, I've had nearly a 100% response rate. They all improve.
Patients using the medicine are claiming it saved their lives.
And I'm blessed with that medicine, because I didn't know what was going to happen. It saved my life. Trust me, it saved my life.
It's not clear how other medical experts in the U.S. will respond to this latest discovery. But with options like hydroxychloroquine and now ivermectin on the table, many say Democrats' refusal to make these medicines available is no different than murdering the patients who need them but can't get them. Pearson Sharp.
Okay. How's that for a whopper? Huh? Do you remember the viciousness that this government used to go after ivermectin in the beginning, and how they forced people to go to pharmacies in India to get it and so forth? 12 cents for the entire range of treatment. That's one of the reasons why it was suppressed. Too cheap. So here, go ahead. Tell us your thoughts on this. Oh, I must say one thing. Do not confuse this, please, with anything to do with having been injected with a bioweapon. The genetic bioweapon is a horror. It is a killer. Ivermectin has nothing to do with that. This is about the virus itself. SARS-CoV-2. Go ahead.
Yeah, and apparently it is effective in preventing the spike from attaching to the any number of receptors within the body. It appears to be unsurpassed in that ability. I mean, people have tried a range of different things that work to some degree, but ivermectin seems to be a winner in that regard. And I do believe that when they were looking at repurposed drugs under that domain program that I believe Robert Malone was in charge of, yes, ivermectin came out and hydroxychloroquine came out very early on. It was clear that they had a very therapeutic effect in treating this viral infection. But that information was withheld in favor of going with remdesivir for reasons we can only speculate.
We can speculate, but we do know for a fact that many, I'm not saying all, but many of the early cases allegedly of COVID, remember, 99.9975 for the first version of SARS-CoV-2, complete recovery with zero treatment. Now, people were forced into a state of mind that was near hysteria to get these shots. It worked. They fear, fight or flight. They got people scared, and they lined up. They rolled their sleeves up, and they began dropping over dead, some of them. We've seen too many images of that. Now we have a total of almost 7 billion people who have been injected with that crap. So it's really something to see. So this is, I don't know, I find it humorous, sadly so, black humor. Go ahead.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, the nurses, Nurse Ann for one, but she's not the only one, will attest to how the ivermectin, when it was clear that this was a drug that was beneficial, and they were able to switch out the remdesivir for the ivermectin, that she, Nurse Ann, said at one point, yeah, it was a game changer. You know, it wasn't uncommon for critically ill people to come into the ICU, and no matter what they did, it would, you know, the outcome was not good if it ever got to that point where they needed critical care. The ventilators certainly weren't working because it was the wrong treatment for this type of virus. And then when the ivermectin became available, she said, you know, it was a game changer.
Don't forget, most of the early cases, a lot of the early cases, maybe most, like majority, 56, 7, 60%, I don't know. This was influenza, relabeled, and they got you in the ER, and they scared the hell out of you with a test that doesn't work, the PCR. It's not appropriate for that. And they did what? They gave you remdesivir, which did what? Shut your kidneys down, flooded your lungs with fluid, you started to drown, and the only alternative, they said, was to put you on a vent, which kills you. They killed hundreds of thousands of people that way. They killed them. All they had to do is give them ivermectin.
If they did have COVID, if they did actually have the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the ventilator was deadly. Absolutely deadly, because it was, you know, it was a bloodborne pathology at that point, a coagulopathy. Their blood could not carry oxygen, and so forcing oxygen into a situation like that created a cytokine storm, a free radical storm, and you die of oxygen poisoning.
I lost a friend that way. I'm not sure many of you.
I know a lot of people did.
Yeah, they were murdered. These people, they didn't die because of some untested treatment. They died with utter intent. They were murdered, lots of them. And it seems to be just a fact of life for most people. I don't see any outrage anywhere. Let's see how this story does in the mainstream media, where it runs. It's going to get a lot of views, it already is. It's out of Australia. But everything they said in there is everything we've been saying here for 2.5 years almost.
Yeah.
Everybody knew. If you did your simple homework, ivermectin, we don't suggest you use it prophylactically, but you get sick, especially with the virus or one of the variants. You take this, and chances are you're going to be much better real fast. That's the gist of the story. So we will see. We will see. Anyway, how's that for an opener?
Oh, that's...
Pretty wild. Yeah.
Seems like it's 2 years too late.
What? By intent. Absolutely intentional. And you know, you go in to get it in the ag store, the equine store, or the Grange sort of stores. You got to have a picture of you and your horse now, or they will not give it to you. I don't know.
The WHO
crazy.
Got all right.
Not
are
yet.
Seeking to get lots of countries.
He can't wait to get going, Dr. Mike Eden. All right, we're going to go now to the World Health Organization and their plan to take a significant amount of control over the entire planet with this new pandemic treaty. They call it a treaty, I think, don't they? Isn't it a treaty?
Yes, it was a pandemic treaty.
Ha ha. So tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll play... Mike Eden, or do you want to play the Republicans first? What do you want to do?
No, it either or. It's both on the same topic, but this is regarding this pending agreement, treaty, that I guess, 163 nations are being pressured to enter into with the World Health Organization, whereby when a pandemic is declared, the World Health Organization will have dominion over all of these countries and be able to dictate
sovereignty. Yes.
You know, this is a pathway to totalitarianism. It's very obvious because they can declare a pandemic whenever they want now. And apparently Marburg is already declared a public health emergency here in the U.S.
It's on the books. This is important.
It's on the books.
Go ahead. Yeah. It's on the books.
That was information that Sasha Latipova presented about a week or so ago. Yes, it is on record as officially a public health emergency. So at any time,
right now,
they can pull the card and you know, begin these same draconian measures that they imposed for this coronavirus.
All right, let's do the Republicans first. Go ahead, finish
up. The stage is set for that. So,
or H5N1. But if Marburg is already declared as a world, what is it declared
public
as?
Public health emergency.
A world public health a fake. Public health.
Well, there are cases of it, but you know, what's the criteria?
P-H-E-I-C.
They make those rules too.
Yeah, P-H-E-I-C, pronounced fake. But that's public health emergency. I think it's international anyway. So that's the deal. Yes, it's already on the books, so keep that in mind. We happen to think that the chances are certainly good that H5N1 could be released. Marburg, any time. It's already there.
Yeah.
It's already there.
And then they apparently have some cases of it in Africa, in two separate countries on opposite sides of the continent, oddly enough. How'd that happen?
Well, was West Africa one, and then...
Yeah.
Was it the Congo, the other one? I can't remember.
Yeah, they were a good distance apart.
Maybe it was Tanzania. Anyway, yes, they split the continent. Well, left half and right half, and they had outbreaks, or they were talking about outbreaks.
But Marburg has never occurred naturally. I mean, it's related to Ebola, and we've had Ebola, and even the latest outbreak of Ebola in 2014 was likely a lab leak or release. But Marburg has never occurred, spontaneously or naturally.
No. I was just
other than in, you know, a
that.
Laboratory. It was laboratory workers who became infected, but, you know.
2014 was that. That was when Ebola, and they had a couple of people come here who allegedly were sick with it, but I think they all recovered, didn't they? And a few.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's nothing you want to fool around with, but the question is...
I think one died. Texas, I think. Houston, anyway. Whatever.
But these are the viruses that are characterized by hemorrhagic fevers, that, you know, you begin bleeding from every orifice. And apparently Marburg has about at least a 60% fatality rate, maybe 90% they're claiming. It's significant.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that easily spread. It's a bloodborne virus, very weighty. So to spread it by aerosols, it's not a likely route of transmission. You need blood-to-blood or fluid-to-blood contact.
Well, you kind of have to wonder why they declared Marburg to be a global health emergency when there really wasn't one. They didn't even have a good pretense of one. They just declared it.
Well, it's a public health emergency here. I don't know what's happened in other countries. I only know it's in the States, at least. And maybe other countries have done it as well. I don't know. But it's awfully suspicious. And it was declared a public health emergency 2 years ago, 2020, 3 years ago.
Right. A fake, PHEIC, is a public health emergency of international concern. And that's, I guess that's what they've declared. All right. Now, we've got a couple issues here about, when you think of the World Health Organization, these are thugs. All right. These are basically terrorists. And I'm not joking, because Tedros is known for legitimate ties with terrorists. If you do any research on him at all, you've probably seen this, or you will see it. He's a thug. And this is an organization leveraging its way into taking control of most of the world's countries, those who sign on with this treaty, and giving up some of their sovereignty to an organization that is clearly as corrupt as it can be. So here are U.S. Republicans holding a press conference about getting the USA out of the World Health Organization, something that is very important that we do. It should be done, should have been done long ago. Well, here are some of these Republicans.
Serious and threatens this country. The reason is on May 21st through May 30th, it's a possibility that this president will be giving away our sovereignty. It's a possibility that several agencies have been compromised by China, which they have. What Tedros has done is undermine not only the WHO, but every country that's a member. We sent out a letter on May 10th to Kevin McCarthy to defund, for the United States to defund the World Health Organization. We are now putting in roughly $700 million, which is unbelievable that this country is doing that. The reason is to call attention to it. The reason is to make sure this country is not undermined by what Joe Biden and his administration is doing. I've got Frank Gaffney, who I don't think has come yet, but if you want a good rundown of what the perils we're facing, you need to read this book. Frank was in the Reagan administration. He's a true patriot. And let me call on him to say a few words. And folks, we've got 18 House members that are going to speak. I'm going to ask for y'all to be under a minute and a half, and because I want everybody to be heard. Frank, would you come forward?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Congressman. Thanks to all of you, most especially thanks to all of you. The Chinese Communist Party runs the World Health Organization.
Speak up, Frank.
It runs the World Health Organization in furtherance of its longstanding objective of global governance. That's one world government. There's no room in the world government for the United States of America, certainly not the free America that we love. We've created a sovereignty coalition to fight against the World Health Organization's efforts to obtain global dominance through public health dominance. And we are very appreciative of you, Congressman Norman, most especially, for taking the lead, along with your colleagues, to get us out of the World Health Organization before it finishes off America. Thank you, sir.
He's not exaggerating here. If we sign this treaty, it's giving away, well, it's unconstitutional what we're giving away. We can't do that. But that's what's in the wording of this treaty, that they would be able to tell us what policies to follow. I don't have the minutia for you, but it's a big, big threat. Here's one more.
I should call on Dr. Ronnie Jackson.
Sir, thank you. Ronnie Jackson, 13th Congressional District of Texas. I'll be really brief here. I just want to say that, the World Health Organization is a corrupt organization. They're nothing more than a puppet for the Chinese government. We don't have to guess about that. We know that because we saw what happened shortly after COVID took place. We saw how they were complicit in trying to cover up what happened, how they stopped the flow of information. I'll tell you that the Biden administration, it boggles my mind. This is just another one of the many reasons that they are one of the many things that they've done to put America last and to make us part of some world governance that they see us being part of in the future. We are a sovereign country. No other country is going to tell us. Another country will not determine how, if, and when we can protect ourselves during a future pandemic. And no other country is going to use American taxpayer dollars as their piggy bank or their slush fund and spend it whenever and however they see fit. They've proven that they can't be trusted, and we should place no confidence in them. I was initially responsible for in the last Congress for a bill called Protecting American Sovereignty Act that prohibited any American taxpayer dollars from being used in the so-called global pandemic treaty. That is something we should not be a part of. We should defund the WHO, and we should have nothing to do with them in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
I'd like to call on Chris Smith now. Thank you.
Chris, thanks, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I say to my colleagues, Ralph, thank you so much for bringing us together. You know, on March 23rd, I asked Secretary of State Blinken at the House Foreign Affairs Committee about the Biden administration's push, and it's an aggressive push, to enter a binding international pandemic treaty that would cede American sovereignty to the World Health Organization. The Zero Draft WHO treaty, and there is a treaty here, and they're working on it, that Biden administration and others are pushing, starts off with very harsh criticism of the United States and said during the pandemic, COVID, we had a catastrophic failure in how we responded to it. Article 4 pays lip service to sovereignty and then completely overcomes that lip service by saying, quote, provided that activities within their jurisdiction or control do not cause damage to their people in other countries, which empowers WHO to step in and prescribe what each country would do. Article 10 of the treaty says the U.S. would be obligated to provide 20% of our medical supplies, including tests, vaccinations, and medications, to WHO. They say, we want it, we have to provide it. Blinken did not respond to my specific concerns. He said they're not working on a COVID treaty. Nobody asked them that. They're working on a so-called pandemic treaty. And again, we've got the draft right here. Last May, the Biden administration offered its own proposal granting new unilateral authority to WHO Director General Tedros. And I've known him for years. He used to be the head of the health for Ethiopia and did an awful job and covered up a number of times on cholera while he's doing it and did it with COVID when he who got his job from Xi Jinping in China was giving all kinds of false information with regards to that pandemic. This is a treaty that must be stopped. I chair the Global Health, Global Human Rights Committee. We'll be doing a hearing on it.
It amazes me is that people are actually talking about this in a straight-faced way. How could we even be looking at something like this, actually giving up sovereignty to an international organization full of thugs and criminals?
I know.
These are incredible times.
Yeah.
All right. When is the vote? Do you know?
It was through May 30th, so I don't know. I thought it was earlier this month. I don't know.
It seems that they're, according to this, they're still working on it. All right, here's one more little shorty. 1 minute and 47 seconds with Dr. Mike Yeadon, former chief science officer of Pfizer. Remarkable man. One of the best of the best. Right up there at the top. All right, here's Mike.
The WHO, God love them, are seeking to get lots of countries to sign up to an amended international health regulations and a new treaty, and apparently a pandemic treaty. And I have a few problems with this. So I put it to people that if there was a new pandemic, by definition, it's new. No one, therefore, knows what the right thing to do is. But the way it will be is there'll be one person, one organisation, one person at the top of it in the WHO that gets to decide what happens. Well, I've just told you that no one knows what the right thing to do is. Humans are brilliant in this situation because they innovate. They'll have a go in one country or a region that'll be different from another country or region. And if you maintain good communication, within a few weeks, you'll know what's working, what's not working, just by doing like league tables of how sick people are and how well they are. And also that's democratic, because if you don't like what's happening in your country or region, you can go and get involved. But if it's controlled from Geneva by the WHO, so by definition, if you centralise in a novel situation, you won't get an optimum outcome. You can guarantee you won't get an optimum outcome. Worse, you won't even know what optimum is, because they won't be running experiments. And as I say, that's the end of democracy in relation to health. So if they decide youth to be locked down or youth to be injected, remember, in the slave system of digital ID and cashless CBDC, if the WHO decides it, you know, it will just happen.
All right. There you go. So it's apparently pending. I'm going to try and see what I can find out as we go along here. But this is ludicrous that we're even talking about this. If you ask the average American...
And it certainly isn't on mainstream media.
I don't know what the mainstream media is doing. What are they doing about this? Anything?
Nothing. Nothing that I've heard.
I haven't seen any stories coming across. None. So I don't think they're doing much of anything except covering it up. Let's see what I can find.
That's exactly right.
WHO pandemic treaty. Let's see what happens here. WHO pandemic treaty takes a step backwards 10 hours ago, 6 days ago. WHO pandemic treaty could impose lockdown on UK, ministers fear. Biden's pandemic treaty would surrender power to WHO bureaucrats, House representative warns 7 days ago. Let's see what happened 10 hours ago here. Real quick. New York Post. WHO pandemic treaty takes a step backwards. Okay. This is today. As negotiations accelerate toward a new pandemic treaty, observers warn that efforts to ensure equal access to medical products needed to battle future threats are being watered down. Shaken by the COVID-19 pandemic, the World Health Organization's 194 member states are negotiating an international accord aimed at ensuring countries are better equipped to deal with the next health catastrophe. The process is still in the early stages, with the aim being to reach an agreement by May of 2024. So this is a war to pass this that will go on for the next year, apparently. So the vote was, according to the story, was not due this month. The process is still in its early stages, with the aim being to reach an agreement by May of 2024. That's what it says here. New York Post.
Yeah.
All right.
They'll keep pushing for it.
It's, yes, of course. Bribing, threatening, pushing, you name it, and they'll do it. They don't take no for an answer easily. Okay, let us go to our human side of this ledger of injected death and suffering under the guise of vaccinating people. Guess again. You all know the story by now. It's anything but. Okay, where are we? Let's pull this up here and see. Where do you want to start?
Well, you pick.
Don't do that. Ladies first.
No. You pick.
All right. Which was the thread that I asked about? Extreme shedding fallout?
We could do that one. There
was the one that
shedding
wanted?
Victim psych crisis.
That's it. That's the one, right? Okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's a rather tragic one, but sure.
All right. Let's start with that. Okay. I'll do the first one. You go with the second. I am going to be forced into the psychiatric ward. Please pray for me. I am very sick and very tired of all of this. I tried to tell my doctor about shedding, and this is what happens to me in Ontario, Canada. I am so tired of this world, I don't know how to exist anymore. Without Jesus, I would be gone long ago, and I pray that he protects all of us from the evil in this world, and honestly, I'm ready to go home with him now. I will be persecuted for my faith because my doctor says I am delusional and put a form on me, so I will be locked in the hospital, a psychiatric hospital, at least for 72 hours, and I am so sick I don't know how to bear it, but I know that God will protect me either way. So they're locking people up in mental hospitals if they simply talk about shedding in Canada. Unbelievable. Onward.
I saw something to that effect here as well, that if you became too outspoken about any sort of fallout from the vaccines or were creating hesitancy, you could be committed. You could be given a diagnosis of being, you know, needing psychiatric help.
Don't we all? That's what they think, or they'd like us to think. You all need counseling. You all need to talk to somebody. You all need to tell us your problems so we can help you deal with life better. God help
us.
Go ahead. The next piece in that thread.
Someone asked, what did she say? You're definitely not insane. She is. Answer, thank you. I am just tired of no one validating anything I say. Why is this happening to us? I can only assume it's God given to protect us.
Go ahead.
Continuing. Okay. Original poster says, how on earth are we supposed to live in this? I am affected every single place I go. I am never one to ever speak my mind, but if I'm honest, I think I'm losing my mind. I smell the vaccinated people and suffer daily, yet I watch them walk around and seem to be fine. I just don't understand what's going on. Can anyone help please explain? I'm so confused every day. People think I'm insane, and yet I can't seem to go anywhere without feeling sick, nerve pain, extreme ear pain, ear ringing, nausea, vertigo, headaches, sinus issues, constantly. And the smell of honestly what seems to be a mix between dryer sheets and rotting corpses. I am so confused and scared most days. I just don't want to be here anymore.
Not good.
Someone answers, yes, it's very, very weird. I don't know how we're supposed to live with this either. I can't go out much either. The smells are everywhere. The vax seem fine, but let's face it, if they were fine, they wouldn't smell like they do. It does seem bizarre, though, to smell those noxious smells and see everyone acting like normal and all is well.
That's really an important statement. There's several things there. One, not everybody smells these smells. We don't know why, but we know that they are smelling something. I've experienced it three times. So there are smells out there, odors, and it's not cologne, it's not dryer sheets, it's not clothing just washed with a laundry detergent. These people stink. There's something going on. Being afraid to talk about that is rational. Most people think you're nuts. We don't know what could trigger some people to be hypersensitive in terms of their olfactory efficiency, but they are. They smell things. And others claim to sense things about the vaxxed. I don't know if that's going too far. You'll have to make that decision. I don't rule anything out anymore. I think we live in a world of photons and vibrational and auric frequencies that, who knows? The idea that, though, a lot of these people who are vaxxed seeming to be fine, they're out and about. But the point is, if they smell, if they really do smell, they're not fine. And we know right now that the spike protein, once it is introduced into the human body, begins a process which has a multiplicity of pathways toward an early demise. We know that. They can look fine. They can talk and laugh, but they're not fine. Keep in mind the people showing up and being diagnosed out of the blue with stage 4 cancers, for example.
There doesn't have to be a smell or any perceptible sensation. And the proof of that is these women, and most tragically pregnant women, that, coming in contact with the vax unknowingly, and next thing you know, they're bleeding uncontrollably. And many, many now have lost pregnancies, both early pregnancies and later pregnancies, which tragically are sometimes stillborn.
75% who get the shot during pregnancy lose.
Well, those are the ones who are vaxxed. I'm talking about unvaxxed women. Either, you know, typically it's a work environment or living environment, home environment, where they're spending a fair amount of time around vaxxed people. Mm-hmm. Not always, but they are, you know, universally having sick symptoms. It's a given. And yet, you know, they don't notice anything consciously a lot of times.
Right. All right, here's the next piece in that thread. Yeah, I smelled it too, or I smell it too, and sometimes feel like I'm crazy. I can literally tell who has been vaxxed and who has not. Today, we had the fridge repair guy and Wi-Fi tech. The fridge guy stunk so badly, I had to leave the room. And I had the door open and two air purifiers going. Then the guy for the Wi-Fi came, and he walked in, and I knew he was not a walking poison chemical factory immediately. No smell at him at all, on him at all. Come to find out, he is one of us, unvaxxed. The smell is real. It is like nothing I have ever smelled in my life. I have this theory that those of us that smell it are super sensitive to it. Unfortunately, not a lot of people do smell it. I smell a sweet, sour-like chemical smell that can have a fabric softener end note at times. Also, it can be like, I can't, what is she saying here?
Also, it can be like that at times, or it can be like rotten meat.
That's it. But that is not as common. So hard to explain smells. We are not crazy at all, but at times, it can feel very lonely out there, so hold on to your faith. Go ahead.
Another person says, in response to how on earth are we supposed to live in this, I wonder the same, and I share in all those experiences that you list. I know that they seem like they are all right, but I know they are not going to be all right. I believe that many, maybe the ones who are the worst shedders, will probably get cancer, myocarditis, or stroke. This is the fate that goes along with their choice to be injected.
Go ahead.
I'm going to double here, I think. Okay, no. All right. Original poster says, I am so sad. My entire family has neglected to listen to me, and now they smell of what I can only describe as death. I'm heartbroken, yet they have mentally changed, and I don't even know them anymore. I don't know how many people have experienced this, but I feel as though all vaccinated are changed into what I don't know or understand, but it's sad.
And someone adds on to that, it is sad. My extended family has changed as well. I cannot comprehend it. It has to be this injection. You are not alone. Many of us have similar experiences. Someone adds to that, I'm so sad my entire family has neglected to listen to me, and now they smell of what I can only describe as death. I am heartbroken.
It's a repeat.
Is it? It's a double?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
It's worth reading again, though. It's good. I am heartbroken, yet they have mentally changed, and I don't even know them anymore. I don't know how many people have experienced this, but I feel as though all vaccinated are changed into what I don't know or understand, but it's sad. Onward.
Another person says, I am going through shedding symptoms constantly. I cannot smell them, and although strange, I feel weird sensations around them, plus almost immediate tingling of tongue and mouth, elevated blood pressure and heart rate. Within 24 hours of exposure, I have flu-like symptoms, which last from 24 hours to days. I have also had constant ear ringing for 4 months. I know within minutes that someone has been vaxxed. My naturopath has prescribed a compounded antihistamine and has diagnosed me with mast cell syndrome. I have started using nicotine patches, which were recommended by a doctor online, plus a number of supplements recommended by my naturopath. I'm hoping it helps because I have been miserable. And the original poster says to that, I'm honestly losing my mind. I know this world is evil, but I'm struggling to see why God seems to be putting me in harm's way. But then I remember the book of Job, so I'm scared to go, even though God is sending me there. But in my heart, I know that it's all for God's glory. Praise Jesus.
All right, next one. You are not alone. My siblings are the same. We have each other. Damn. These Satanists that attack us can go back to hell where they belong. Their time is getting shorter. The next one says, we've experienced it to some degree in our family, but most did not take the vax. Those that did are estranged from us. We don't visit or gather together with them anymore. Go ahead.
Another one says, it's so weird. Mm-hmm. I thought it was because I left Facebook, and I no longer hear from my jabbed family either. It's like they are estranged from us, unvaxxed. All I did was try to warn them. Believe me, it is not us.
Look at the damage, the social, cultural, personal damage done to countless tens of millions of people, vaxxed and unvaxxed. Just everywhere you look, the psychology is really suffering. People are they're alone, they're isolated. These groups, for them, many of them, are the only thing keeping them, I think, stable. They're
yes.
able to talk to other
yeah.
people.
No doubt.
Okay. All right, go on with the next one, shedding victim smells. Go ahead with that.
All right, this was the original poster. Are a lot of you guys smelling the scent of the vaccinated? Everywhere I go, it's there. I don't understand why I'm smelling this and others don't. The absolute worst was at the emergency room in Waterloo, Ontario. I couldn't even sit in there for 10 minutes. Is it in the air? Has anyone heard anything about why certain people smell it and others don't? Is it that I have an underlying health condition? Certain blood type? Seriously, this doesn't make any sense.
An answer to that, yes, I smell it and it causes me to get sick. Some say what is coming from the jabbed is snake venom, and some say it's formaldehyde. I have smelled formaldehyde before, and it didn't give me nerve pain. My jab neighbors have been outside for a while, and when I breathe in the air from my door, I get leg pain right away. This is one of the many shedding symptoms I get. Some of my family can smell it, and some of them can only smell things, odors, on their own clothing. My family members that can smell it in the air were the ones who would have been diagnosed with CV, and others never got coronavirus symptoms at all. I hope someday I will understand what all of this is. Yeah, a lot of people do. The smelling thing is... Go ahead.
There's more than one thing coming off these people. That's clear.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. It's a part and parcel of this whole horror show that we've been thrown into. These people are smelling something real. I have smelled it. So I can tell you it's definitely there. Do I smell it all the time? No, primarily because I don't hang around people. I go to the store maybe every 10 days and to the bank, and there's hardly anybody in the bank, so I have my little personal unit on that I always bring with me, and I wear a mask, gloves, and let people think what
they
want.
Well, again, you're probably smelling the aldehydes, whether it's formaldehyde. I mean, these are products of their deranged metabolisms. You know, the ammonia that's coming off from the acetone, thiols, these organic rotting smells. And then whatever proteins are coming off of them, either through the bacterial fermentation metabolism or their own cells, their own bodily secretions. I mean, they're genetically modified now to produce a foreign protein.
Yeah.
Now, some people have said that because the translation of the mRNA has never been validated, they're probably producing fragments of spike, and each fragment may have a certain biological effect. But whatever it is, it can be a nerve toxin, neurotoxin. It can be a hemotoxin, causing abnormalities in your blood. And the limbic system of the nervous system may be getting involved so that when you smell it, there's an immediate reaction because the body knows that this smell is associated with unpleasantness, discomfort, illness. So there may be some kind of psychoneuroimmunology circuit.
Mm-hmm.
Pathway, feedback loop happening there, because it's a toxic protein, and when the body is threatened, it wouldn't be unusual for the limbic system to become involved, and that is also something that we see with mold related illness. When people who have that sensitivity to mycotoxins, all they have to do is smell the mold from a distance. It doesn't even have to have saturated their bloodstream to any extent, and they will still get the reaction as if they've been toxified.
Yeah. And remember, mold toxicity is now 600 times more intense, stronger than it was how many years ago?
Well, that would be 20 years ago now. 20 years ago.
Because that was a 10-year-old paper. So, yes, and that derives from the simple exposure to EMF, all right? 4G, 3G, 5G, doesn't matter. Per square inch, the amount of EMF, and this paper was 10 years ago, was said to be, what, millions of times stronger than it was?
Yeah, in a cubic inch of space,
yeah.
a million times more than what we had. I mean, we did not evolve with these types of frequencies in the environment. So, our bodies are not well adapted to withstanding this kind of constant chaos.
No. All right, I want to do one more to help all of you stay up to speed on this graphene oxide BS. It's not there. The end of the question is, how long has dentistry been tainted with graphene oxide? What are people doing to avoid dental injections? The claim, is it not, very quickly, that the anesthesia being used on dental patients is contaminated with graphene oxide?
That's the latest thing. Yeah.
All right. Two sentences here. They have done it that I know of since 2018. That's how I lost my daughter when she was pregnant. It ate her up inside of my belly. The graphene oxide. This woman thinks graphene oxide destroyed her unborn child. And she says in final, then I got injected 3 times for 3 root canals and twice again recently. I just now realize the significance these injections are killing me as well. I wish I would have listened to my instinct. This is okay. Don't worry about this, all right? It's not being put in the...
Even if it were, though, it is a form of carbon that is relatively innocuous. I mean, the body has mechanisms to break this down. It's not like, injecting mercury or aluminum. Not even close.
No. So don't worry. But the big message in this story, don't get root canals. You're better off pulling the tooth. I hate to tell you that, but it's the truth. Don't get root canals. They are terribly dangerous. And you can look it up online and find out the where's and why's and how's. It's all explained. Okay, any final note here? We've covered a lot of ground again. We've got to run.
No, that's good. It's a wrap.
All right. A wrap. That's Hollywood talk. Very good. All right. Thank you. Talk soon.
Okay. All right. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back with Hour 3. For you next.